number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, Royal Troon, it was a great show between Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. We've been hitting that up tonight. The duel at Troon. There was the duel in the sun in 1977, for those of you old enough to remember it. I mean, I was knee-high to a grasshopper, so I don't remember it. But I do remember reading about it. And it was Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus on a rather sunny day at Turnberry, where they dominated the field. Dan Jenkins wrote a really good good piece on it, the great Dan Jenkins. And in it, he talked about how at the time, Jack Nicklaus, who was 37 years old, there was talk about his demise. Naturally you do that with aging players. And how young Tom Watson and some of the younger players were starting to take over golf. And Jenkins sort of said, go ahead, write Jack Nicklaus off. Write him off as an old man. You know, kind of laying this foundation of how all these people were being critical of, you know, that Jack was moving on in age. But then he sort of had to remind people that while Tom Watson bested Jack Nicklaus by one, and you could say the youth movement is on the way, that Nicklaus's final score, albeit in second place, had set the British Open record by six shots, only to have been broken by Tom Watson by one, of course. But that, you know, here was Nicklaus at 37 being written off, yet he produced this incredible round, an incredible four rounds of golf at Turnberry, only to be bested by one other guy. And that's what I felt watching Phil Mickelson today. I was sort of reminded of that watching Phil Mickelson. It is such a new world that we're living in now, where a 46-year-old golfer who shoots 17 under at a major does not win the major. And yet, there isn't people batting an eye about his age. I'll take you back 30 years when Nicklaus won the Masters at 46 years old. And I know you've heard me say this when I've brought this up, but it was viewed so differently 30 years ago. A 46-year-old Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters was old man Nicklaus winning the Masters. It was grandpa winning the Masters. Like, you have no business being here, man. How did you pull this off? People were shocked by it. People were blown away by it. People didn't expect it. This was Seve's playground. This was Tom Kite and Greg Norman's playground now. Old man Nicklaus just filling out his Masters obligation, going out there, shoot a 65 and actually win this thing? You're kidding. But everybody at Augusta National was genuinely happy. There's a famous video of Nicklaus, because he finished early. He finished early and waited it out. And then he was coming out for the ceremony. And like the security guard, the security detail that was on him, they're cheering, like they're jumping up and down when he emerges from the trailer. It's Grandpa Nicklaus winning the Masters. How crazy is this? Well, that was 30 years ago. Today, nobody brought up his age. Nobody thought it was amazing that Mickelson at 46 years old was in contention at Troon. Nobody did. Not Dan Hicks, not Johnny Miller, nobody, not David Faraday, nobody. Because Phil Mickelson is one of the premier golfers in the world today at 46 years old. Doesn't matter how old you can play a little bit longer. You can still be elite. I mean, Phil almost became the second oldest major winner in British Open history, next to old Tom Morris from the 1800s. And he came up three short because Henrik Stenson was that much better. Here's Phil saying he doesn't really remember a match like this.
I don't remember being in a match like that where we've separated ourselves from the field by so many strokes. I don't think that's happened that I can remember.
20 under, 17 under. J.B. Holmes came in third at 6 under. Again, when Tiger Woods won the Masters by a million and the British Open by a million and the U.S. Open by a million, that's sort of he becomes the anomaly. Right? The real tournament was everybody else at plus two or minus one or minus two. And there's Tiger minus 12, Tiger minus 19, Tiger minus 8, Tiger minus 17. Right. You can go, well, that, you know, he is so head and shoulders above everybody else. He is now resetting the bar of how to play golf, and everybody else is playing catch up. Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson weren't setting the bar on anything. They just played this course over 4 days a lot better than Rory, Jordan, Jason, Dustin, you know, everybody. J.B. Holmes came in third. J.B. Holmes. Phil is disappointed. Here's Phil again talking about being disappointed in coming in second.
Gosh, it's disappointing to come in second, but I'm happy for Henrik. He's really a great champion. We've been friends for some time, and I've always thought that he is one of the best ball strikers in the game, and that major championships are perfectly suited for him. And I knew that he would ultimately come through and win. I'm happy that he did. I'm disappointed that it was at my expense.
Yeah, that's class. That's good job, Phil. That's and you know what? He said it right there at the end. I'm happy, but I'm sad it came at my expense. Because when you shoot 17 under at Troon, he would have taken that 1,000 times out of 1,000 times if he was offered that at the beginning of the tournament. Every golfer would have. 17 under, I'll take it. Three-shot loss? You got to be kidding me. And as I said earlier tonight, he's on the plane going back to Rancho Cucamonga or wherever he lives. I think it's Rancho Santa Fe. But he's going back out there going, I gave it everything I had. I gave him a 65 on a Sunday with no bogeys. I didn't give him a window. I didn't blow up. I didn't make a double. I didn't make a triple. I didn't go five holes at seven over. I didn't give him any of that. I made the putts I needed to make. If I had a long putt for par, I knocked it in. I lipped out an eagle. That would have been my second eagle of the day. And I lost by three. That's incredible golf. Here's Henrik Stenson, the Open champion, talking about his focus.
I've been so focused this week, this day in particular. I've just been trying to stay in the moment and do my stuff out on the golf course. So, I mean, obviously, I haven't had time to let it sink in yet. I felt like it was my time. I believed it was my time and managed to pull through and have a great finish and beat Phil in the end by a couple of shots there.
Yeah, good job. By the way, at 40, he wins his first major. 40. Did you hear Phil in the last cut where he goes, oh, I thought I always knew he had the game for the majors. Yeah, well, what took so long? 40 years old is old. It's getting up there. It's like, oh my gosh, I better win one of these things. I'm going to be honest with you. I've heard of Henrik Stenson. I've seen him play. I never thought he was a major. I never thought he had game for a major like that. I mean, all these guys say really nice things about each other when it's all over, but come on, really? You thought Henrik Stenson could win majors? I thought Henrik Stenson could be competitive, but I didn't think he could win majors. Here's Stenson again on the post-game presser.
We managed to pull away from the rest of the field, and we both played some great golf. Makes it even more special to beat a competitor like Phil. He's been one of the best to play the game, and certainly in the last 20 years. So to come out on top after such a fight with him over these 4 days, it's... It makes it even more special.
That's good. That's good stuff. They played great. It was so fun to watch. I love the British Open because I get up in the morning. I don't even, you know, grab my breakfast cereal and I sit down and I'm watching golf at Troon. Now in 2 weeks, I got to turn around. I got to go to Baltusrol. In 2 weeks. I mean, it was good stuff. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Adam's news of the night is coming up, and then we're going to go around Major League Baseball to get a kind of a perspective on what went on in the day. But you know, today was the dominating news of the British Open, and now Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson put on a pretty good show. It's one of those events where you don't need to get golf. You don't need to get the sport. You could watch it for the competition, and you could watch it for, and you would understand what was going on. You might find it boring and all that other stuff, but you could watch it and really know what was going on and really figure it out and say, boy, this is really good. These guys are really playing really sharp. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. So was news of the night, was this over the weekend, was it easy or difficult?
Pretty easy. I like the three stories that I have coming.
All right, very good.
One is a It's a follow-up from a story I did, I would say, weeks, maybe a month ago.
Okay.
I always like when I can follow up a story with something about that story that's different.
All right. Well, coming up next, Adam's News of the Night. And then we're going to get in our wrap-up of Major League Baseball, including a one-hit gem from one particular pitcher. That's all coming up. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yes, your NFL team has made its picks.
The 2016 NFL Draft.
Now it's time for you to have a little draft.
Fantasy football from Yahoo is back.
The 2016 Yahoo Fantasy Football season has opened. Just go right now to yahoo.com/fantasyfootball. The number one fantasy football game in the world is Yahoo Fantasy Football.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
News of the day. Before we do, Kevin on Twitter, you going to mention EVO? That is the video game thing that went on this weekend in Vegas. No, I'm not going to mention EVO. I don't know who won, and I don't know what they're playing, and I don't know anything else about it. I am going to be behind the times on this. I know for a fact I will be. I will be behind the times on this. In maybe five years, less than 5 years, this thing will be rock solid big. Because this thing's like a firecracker. These video game tournaments. Have you seen these? How big they are?
Yeah, we were. Me and Joe were talking about it during our show before your show.
It is intense. It's tens of thousands of people live watching these things.
Part of me feels like it's going to be a lot like the poker phenomenon.
Yeah, it might be. You might be right.
That at least you TV wise
poker was big, and then wham, wham, wham,
yeah,
boom.
At least TV wise, you know, yeah. Where it'll explode on TV and be all over, and then all of a sudden go away and just be like a late night thing.
Yeah. No, but Kevin, I can't speak intelligently on it, and you would laugh at me and ridicule me if I even tried. I don't know anything about it. By the way, since Dig Dug is not involved in the competition, I'm going to boycott it. That and Tron and Frogger. If I can get Frogger. I would love Frogger. My wife asked me what I wanted. She said, "What do you want for your birthday for this summer?" And I said, "You know what I want? I want a tabletop Ms. Pac-Man machine." She says, "Yeah, good luck." So I'm sorry. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, news of the day. Let's go with story number one.
Story number one. Remember about a month ago, I'd say, when I told you about the glass slide that sat outside 1,000 feet up in the air at the U.S. Bank Tower in L.A.?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's only been a month, and they've already gotten their first lawsuit.
Oh, that didn't take long.
No, and it happened due to a lady. You get like sacks or like rugs to sit on, so you go a little bit faster down the slide. Well, she was going. She had her phone going, videotaping it, and her claim is the slide did not allow her to slow down enough. So that when she got to the bottom, she tried to slow herself down by putting her foot on the side. Well, she was going too fast is the way she claims. And when she put her foot against the side, it snapped her ankle.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So she was trying to film it going down, and then because it was going too fast, she couldn't, and then tried to slow down, and boom, her ankle got hurt.
Yes, she broke her ankle, and now she's suing for, you know, the medical costs and a few other things, while her husband is also suing for something I don't even remember.
I would like to get I would love to know from a lawyer aspect of it. When you go to these type of things, like a sly or whatever, something along those lines, isn't there some sort of responsibility you have to perform in the right way? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
If I'm doing something at a park and I go beyond the normal use of the of it, then the place isn't liable.
Yeah.
But if I do something crazy that doesn't seem normal, I'm on my own.
She claims negligence, by the fact that the slide is not, it does not slow you down at the end. And then her husband is suing. Maybe you know, I don't know a lot about legal stuff. He's suing for loss of consortium.
Okay.
That's the word. Yeah, I would have to look it up.
Yeah, I'll have to. I don't know the legalisms of
that. Yeah. So, but supposedly on the video, you can hear her ankle break.
Oh, that's great. That's actually, she should throw that on YouTube.
Right.
She'll get a million views, and then YouTube will pay her some money.
It probably is on YouTube.
Yeah, throw it on YouTube, get a million views, and then YouTube cuts you a check based on whatever their business model is. All right. That's great. All right, so that didn't take long.
No, that didn't take long at all.
Story number two.
Story number two, former NFL running back Ricky Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Is he doing this documentary?
Yes. The story that I read here is he claims that he lost $5 to $10 million in NFL earnings due to his drug suspensions and basically ended up leaving the league because of drugs. Well, he is convinced by the investments he's made in the cannabis field that he is going to make a lot more money than the $5 to $10 million he lost. So he thinks that in the end, he still made the right decision by smoking weed the entire time he's in the NFL, because now he's in the cannabis business and he's going to make millions.
He saw that train 100 miles.
Oh, 100 miles away. He used to talk about it. Remember?
He has talked about. You know what? Ricky Williams will be a great. I would love to see a Ricky Williams documentary 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah.
Right when where we are with this stuff 10, 15. Because when he got out of the league and everything, everyone was like, oh, man, he's just addicted to that marijuana. And yeah, but he really made a larger point about it. And now everyone's like, yeah, we should probably legalize this around the country. Yeah, Ricky Williams was making that point when everyone thought he was just a druggie that didn't care about anything but getting high. He was making the larger point. So I would love to see a big career and personality arc of Ricky Williams from Texas to his early days in the NFL to when he left to when he came back, his fight for this, how the societal changes, and where he is 10 to 15 minutes. That's a great news of the night story. He's going to be a cannabis millionaire of all people. Of course Ricky Williams should be.
I love the fact he's the co-founder of a cannabis-friendly gym in San Francisco called Power Plant Fitness and Wellness.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
He sells marijuana-infused nutritional supplements, and he eventually wants to open a chain of sports-themed marijuana social clubs.
Okay, so there's a gym there's a marijuana gym.
Yes, marijuana gym.
So what is it? People just sitting around going, it's just too heavy. I ain't doing that.
They start walking.
The
they're
weights
just, like,
just sit there and never get used.
Right.
And meanwhile, bank accounts just get taken every single month for huge amounts of money, and no one uses any of the equipment, and people just walking around the track.
Laying down,
sitting around in the lounge area.
There's a long line at the water fountain.
Trainers just standing around waiting for the day somebody just might be interested in picking up a weight and doing something.
Everyone's mouth is so dry, they're just standing around drinking water the entire time.
I tell you what, hey, you want to get healthy? Oh, never mind. You're just taking a walk. I got it. Okay. Oh, that's great. Way to go, Ricky Williams.
And then, real quick, last story I have here is. Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, is claiming that Roger Goodell called him personally to complain about the Baller show that he produces. He's one of the directors of.
Oh, maybe. I shouldn't be so dismissive. Goodell may have totally done that.
Yeah, so he's claiming that Goodell did not like the show Ballers, and he wanted him to change a lot of stuff because it portrayed the NFL in a bad light.
Oh, it certainly does. Have
yes.
you seen Ballers?
Yes.
Oh, it completely does. I'm blown away they get away with it. Using real teams and real logos and things like that. Oh, that actually might have taken place. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Don't ever miss a moment of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Have you downloaded our brand new Yahoo Sports Radio mobile app?
What will happen next?
Just go to yahoosportsradio.com.
Or search for us in your app store.
This is a task you must manage.
Download the app. It's simple. You just press play.
What would we all give?
And there we are. Never miss a moment.
I'm with you, dude.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
God, we haven't done this in a while. The recap of Major League Baseball. All last week, the All-Star break kind of took this bit away from us. Now it's back as we head into the second half of the Major League Baseball season. The Tampa Bay Rays beat Baltimore 5-2. They avoid the sweep. Evan Longoria homered twice for the Rays. Brad Miller also homered. Alvarez homered for Baltimore, his 11th. Detroit getting a walk-off home run from Gerard Saltalamacchia as they beat Kansas City 4-2. I always like that name. That's a pretty cool name, Saltalamacchia. What is that? Does anybody, do you know?
No, I don't know. I'm curious as well.
One day I'd like to look that up.
I'll look it up now.
Look that up.
Go ahead.
Find out what Jared Saltalamacchia nationality is. Because that's I've always liked that name. He's been around long enough. Cincinnati shut out Milwaukee 1-0. Teams combined for just 8 hits on the year. But again, Cincinnati just wins 1-0. Atlanta wins 1-0. Travis Darno with an RBI single in the bottom of the 9th. Julio Teheran went 7 scoreless for the Braves, but Jim Johnson got the win in relief. Atlanta avoids the sweep at Turner Field. Jacob DeGrom had a complete game one-hitter as they shut out the New York Mets shut out the Philadelphia Phillies 5-0. Curtis Granderson and his Drupal Cabrera both homered for the Mets. Granderson, his 16th of the year. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Washington Nationals, a marathon in the nation's capital. They went 18 innings, and the Pirates win 2-1. Sterling Marte with a home run for the Pirates. Daniel Murphy hit his 18th for Washington. Well done. Jonathan Nease picks up the win. I'd like to find out how many pitchers were used in an 18-inning game in D.C. So I'm going to look that up soon. The Cleveland Indians beat the Minnesota Twins by a score of 6-1. Napoli hitting his 20th home run of the year. Jason Kipnis is 15th. Max Kepler hit his 9th for the Twins in the loss. That was their only run of the game. Miami's playing some really good baseball right now. They're 49-42. They beat St. Louis 6-3. Matt Holliday did a homer for the Cardinals, his 16th of the season. But the Marlins are playing very good baseball right now. The Texas Rangers beat the Chicago Cubs to help them avoid the sweep at Wrigley Field over the weekend. They win 4-1. Ian Desmond hitting his 16th home run of the season. Cole Hamels is now 10-2 on the year. John Lackey took the loss. He's 7-6. The Arizona Diamondbacks beat the LA Angels by a score of 6-5. Jake Lamb hitting his 21st home run of the season. While the San Diego Padres beat San Francisco 5-3, Matt Kemp hitting his 18th. There was a lot of home runs in this one. Matt Kemp hitting his 18th. Betancourt is 5th. Solarte hitting his 9th. And the nightcap of the evening, the New York Yankees beat the Boston Red Sox 3-1 at the stadium. Aroldis Chapman picking up his 18th save of the year. Dustin Pedroia homered for the Red Sox, his 9th of the season. Masahiro Tanaka goes to 7-2 as the Yanks avoid that sweep at the stadium. So there you go, your wrap up in Major League Baseball. Now we find out from Adam, is there a Jared Saltalamacchia's nationality?
Yes, it is Italian.
Oh, nice. I should probably know that, but I didn't know that.
And it means, the Salta means jump over, and the Lamacchia means the thicket.
Jump over the thicket?
Yes, that's the meaning.
What a cool last name. What a cool last name. That is fantastic. By the way, I'm counting this out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pitchers were used by the Pirates. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pitchers were used by the Nationals. I don't really know like if there was any position players that were used in an emergency situation, but I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But that was a combined 17 pitchers that were used by the Nationals and Pirates. The Pirates had 62 at-bats in this one. The Nationals had 57 in their 18-inning marathon. Now, it is a Sunday afternoon, okay, in D.C. While the weather seemed to be nice, Do you stay if you're a Nationals fan at this game? Or do you say, I just got to get going. I can't be here forever. 87 degrees, partly cloudy. It's not like it was freezing cold. It wasn't a work night either. Do you think a lot of people stayed just finish this out? Or do people just go, nah, I'm done.
I think a good chunk probably stayed.
Yeah, it seems like you would. It was 5 hours and 48 minutes. It seems like you would stay. I mean, look, I've been at Coors Field for a lot of long games and a lot of long extra inning games. I know it's not ideal sometimes when you just go, look, kids got school the next day, I got work the next day, I can't stay till 1 o'clock in the morning. But I always like those ones like that are on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, and they show the crowd, and there's always like four or five people just still hanging around like in the outfield, just sort of hanging out waiting for the thing to end. Just like Marlins man was at the Yankee game that got rained out that didn't end till like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was still there at the stadium waiting for the game to complete because he's Marlins man. Where should he be? Brandon on Twitter, can I invest in a vending machine and snack machines to put in Ricky's marijuana gym? You absolutely can. Hashtag retirement. Brandon, that is a great point. Who gets the vending machine contract of Ricky Williams' marijuana gyms? Because that's got to be a gold mine. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, these bag of Doritos normally goes for 75 cents at other vending machines, but at Ricky's marijuana gym, you can get that small bag of Doritos for a cool $5.25. And people will pay it because that's what they needed at Ricky's marijuana gym. Golly, that is such a great concept. You know what Ricky's marijuana gym's motto should be? Ricky's marijuana gym, come work out or don't. We really don't care.
just come chill.
Just come chill.
Just pay the fee to get in.
The weights will be here if you want them, but you know, don't worry about it. Cause you won't have gym guy at Ricky's marijuana gym, right? Like, yeah, and I'm up to 272. No, you won't have that guy there, that's for sure. I wonder what the steam rooms and the saunas would be like. Guys in there for like 30 minutes, sitting there chatting. Oh, man, the conversations must be good. Ricky's marijuana gym. Ricky. I can't stop laughing about how right Ricky Williams was about all this. How we laughed at him, how we made fun of him, how he became a laughingstock for his belief in this plant. And now states are making it legal and making a ton of tax breath. When he brought this up, it was laughed at. Like, shut up and play football, Ricky Williams. And now states have legalized it. He saw this coming a mile away. Good for him. God, Ricky Williams. He was great in college. He had some pretty good NFL years. So what you did that story. What is his main occupation now?
I'm pretty sure it's just running
the gym.
Yeah, the gym, and then he goes around and speaks on behalf of marijuana and legalizing it.
Oh yeah, you got to jump on that political train as fast as you possibly can.
Right, and then he has the marijuana nutritional line of products.
God, he really believed in this.
And then he wants, like I said, he wants that to start that sports-themed marijuana social clubs.
I don't blame him. Kevin on Twitter in response to EVO. We are on ESPN now. Slow month or not, that's real talk. Good, yeah, I know. That video game stuff is big, big deal. I'm not going to deny it.
Maybe that's why I compare it to poker, because poker got big when it got on ESPN and took off. And it was big for, maybe 5 years?
Not only was poker big, they actually had a countdown to the poker. Like, you would watch a show, and in the corner, you'd watch anything on ESPN. And in the corner, they would have a countdown to when the poker was going to be back on the television. So it would be like 11 days, 7 hours, 26 minutes, and whatever. That's how big poker was, because it was a big deal. You know what the biggest problem, though, with poker on TV? And you know, because you play poker a lot, is that what they show you on TV is hours and hours and hours and hours and hours edited down to like a real quick half-hour show.
Yeah.
Like, like you, if you never saw poker before, if you had no idea how poker is played, never saw it, you would think ace-ace gets handed out on every deal.
Right.
You're like, wow, I just saw that. And meanwhile, that might happen once in a seven-hour session. Yeah, remember Norm Chad? He was really good. Really good.
Yeah.
Funny and informative. All right, 800-777-2907. You want to get into the conversation. I am Tony D, taking you through the night on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I don't know if you had any on Sunday, Adam, or those of you listening had any on Sunday, but apparently Sunday was National Ice Cream Day.
Did
you have a chance
have
to grab
any.
Some ice cream?
No,
too bad. You blew
any.
It. One time a year, you're allowed to have ice cream with guilt-free. It's on National Ice Cream Day, and you blew it. By the way, what is your favorite flavor?
I'm a cookies and cream, or I really like Oreo ice cream with bits of Oreo in it.
I do too.
That's probably my favorite, is the bits of Oreo.
I do too, and I'll take a good vanilla, but it's got to be like that good vanilla, not
yes,
that
no, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Artificial flavored
right.
vanilla that's terrible. I mean,
stuff.
Like if I see like a vanilla bean, like I like that too. But anyway, it was National Ice Cream Day, and I bring this up because. Remember when I see a new product that's out in ballparks, I go, hey, I got to bring this up because I'm a foodie guy, and these are just insane what we're serving at ballparks these days. So on National Ice Cream Day, I certainly found the Arizona Diamondbacks offer rather remarkable. The Diamondbacks have a 3,540-calorie sundae that weighs 2 pounds and contains 15 ingredients. It is served in a batting helmet. Now, you brought this up that the White Sox were doing this, that it was in a
batting helmet. Yes, the White Sox have a full-size helmet. I don't know what that one is. But
the Diamondbacks is serving it in a full-size regulation
okay.
batting helmet.
That's 30, what the White Sox do.
3,540 calories. The price of it is $25.
Oof.
Yeah, it's called a triple play sundae. It comes at, again, $25. It is loaded with ice cream. There's brownie bits, there's cookie bits, there's waffle cone chips in it. There's whipped cream, there's sprinkles, all that other stuff. But it is a sundae in a regulation batting helmet, loaded with goodies. Where are we going? What's the next thing? A 10,000-calorie burger? What's the next thing with this? That's amazing to me. Like I loved the pizza dog that we talked about last week. I thought the deep dish hot dog pizza was really brilliant. The Diamondbacks also sell a cheeseburger dog at their place. Now, I'm telling you, there is a part of me that wants to go around, like take a trip around all these ballparks and try this stuff.
Okay, so
because you,
so I just looked at the White Sox one.
Yeah,
it's a 3 pound banana split.
Oh, good Lord!
3 pounds. It's $17. You get 12 scoops of ice creams, 3 banana. You can get your variety of chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream with syrup, cherries, the 3 bananas, like I said, and as much whipped cream as you want.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. It's, good for a family of 5.
Right.
Or 7.
And that's what the White Sox executive in the story even said. He's like, this is meant to feed multiple people. But we do look forward to the videos of one person eating the entire thing.
Yeah, that's great. The cheeseburger dog that the Arizona Diamondbacks are serving is a deep-fried char-grilled hamburger with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and special sauce. That's great.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing. Again, it's probably 5,000 calories. A deep-fried burger-shaped dog in a huge bun with hot dog hamburger fixings on it. Where do they? Who? Like when you sit in a meeting at these with these companies, do you go, "Oh, let's see, what can we do to make our customers" as fat as we possibly can. The seats are small enough. Let's just stuff these pork loins into these seats a little bit more. I know. Let tossing around some ideas. No idea is a bad idea. Just throw it out there. Let's see if it sticks. I got one. Jamie, go ahead. Well, we can serve ice cream. And we already do this. Aha, but I'm not done. We could serve ice cream in a huge bowl. Yeah, but a lot of people do that. Yeah, how about this? Why don't we serve it in one of those like batting helmet cups? Yeah, but yeah, that's been done before. Oh, no, I have an idea. Why don't we just take a batting helmet and shove it with ice cream? You mean like fill a batting helmet with ice cream? Yeah, like just fill it with ice cream and throw brownies and whipped cream and all sorts of stuff. Oh, that's a brilliant idea. That's great. Get that implemented. Like not one person goes, yeah, I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one. That's crazy. But no, of course not. But again, I love it because it seems like the teams are trying to one-up each other. And it seems like we're just getting some pretty good wild dishes out of the deal.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, you can go to a ballpark. You ever go to a place and it's the same old chicken fingers? And
yeah.
I mean, I used to go to Predators games all the time. And there was no sort of imagination at Bridgestone Arena for food. It was all the same. Same old this, same old that, same old tasting chicken fingers, same old tasting hamburgers. At least if I'm going to go to a Diamondbacks game and there's a cheeseburger churro dog, hey, well, you know what? I may not order it, but my God, at least somebody is trying. God bless them. By the way, let me just make this point out. If you guys ever go to games and you guys know about these food, it's one of my favorite little side bits that I like to do, especially in the summertime. Feel free to tweet me at Tony D Radio if you know like Franken Pizza or something just crazy like that. I'd love to find out what other teams are serving up in terms of food fare. Because I feel like, you know, being a guy that's trying to lose weight, it makes me wish I had the metabolism of, you know, of an elite athlete. I wish I was like Michael Phelps, where I could eat 9,000 calories a day and not even feel it.
That'd be nice.
That'd be great. Just be like, nah, man, my machine burns so much fuel, I can eat whatever I want as much as I want. All right, 800-777-2907. I am Tony D. Taking you through the night tonight as we continue to talk about the U.S. The British Open won by Henrik Stenson, the legacy of Phil Mickelson, and the legacy of Tom Brady, who said, you know what, four games, I'm good. I'll just sit it out. Yahoo Sports Radio.